Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The career of an MP is never a smooth one and job security is anything but guaranteed, but stretching even that to new limits is National's newest MP, Cam Calder. 58th on the list, he got in at the election, lost on special votes, was set to enter if Melissa Lee took Mount Albert, but has finally regained his seat with Richard Wirth's resignation. Cam Calder joins me now. Welcome.
Top of the evening, Damien.
How are you? Now, look, it's been a strange path for you, hasn't it, getting into Parliament?
It has been a long and varied path. As you said, we had the pleasure of being down there for 2 weeks after the last election, somewhat on tenterhooks, of course, because one always knew that the special votes could change things. And in fact, when they did come in, Kennedy Graham from the Greens took my seat.
Do you have a very forgiving employer?
A forgiving employer? Well, I've been largely self-employed. I was clinical research director for a company which manufactured medical equipment, but that did give me plenty of time to pursue other interests.
Because, I mean, I was just thinking one minute, it's like, actually, I'm back to Parliament now. You wouldn't.
Well, certainly, obviously, last year, 7 months was spent walking the streets of Manurewa. It was a wonderful experience. Wore out a pair of R.M. Williams boots there. Met some wonderful people. Had a great time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But obviously, wasn't able to do anything along the search lines at that stage. It was a full-time campaign. Afterwards, pretty exhausted, a couple of months, and this year was getting back into it, albeit did take some time to pursue a business interest in France with my daughter, and just had come back virtually 2 days before all this news blew up.
Because, I mean, I suppose in some ways you knew that there was always going to be a chance that someone would leave or something would happen over the course of the next few years.
Well, the Prime Minister had taken me aside at a Christmas gathering last year and said that in his feeling there would be that through promotion or something else, somebody would choose to leave for whatever reason. I always hoped it would be somebody being promoted to be an ambassador or something like that. I never wished to profit from someone else's misfortune.
But you'll take it.
Well, you've got to be there to be there.
Absolutely. Now, you've had an interesting background. Why did you end up with the National Party? I mean, you strike me as someone that you could very well have said to me, yes, I'm standing for Labour here, I'm standing for National, without maybe resorting to party rhetoric. What is it that made you?
Okay, well,
National
I think
party?
The fundamental thing, Damien, first up, I'd say we're not perfect. We haven't got a magic wand. And we can't change things overnight, full stop. And I said that on the campaign trail last time. I joined National fundamentally because I believe in the concept of personal responsibility and this is
what every National person says to me. I'm wondering, every National MP, they say personal responsibility.
Okay, can I clarify? My background was this. My dad died when I was young. I was 6 years old, and my mum brought me up. I had loving brothers and sisters, but they were a lot older than me, away from home. So it was basically my mum bringing me up and on a widow's benefit. So I know what it's like to not have a lot of dosh in the household. But I never felt hard done by. I never felt really that there was any reason why I shouldn't do whatever I wanted to do, because that was how I was brought up. My mother encouraged me to pursue the dreams and to be aspirational. So I guess that's what I mean. Rather than looking for excuses as to why things don't happen, look for reasons to make them happen. I guess you could call me as if you like, a compassionate conservative, because, you know, I've been there. I can remember my mum making the school clothes on a treadle sewing machine.
Or wearing secondhand clothes. I suppose like John Key, you've got this background of the social safety net, I suppose.
A safety net rather than a drift net, because the treasure that have people within them is their dreams and aspirations, and no government can legislate that. It's our role to give people the opportunities to seize the ideas they have, make them a reality, and be drenched with exhilaration at the opportunities open to them with hard work and commitment. And I guess that, if that perhaps colours in what I mean by that term, it's not rhetoric, it's absolutely what I believe, you know, that we are the masters of our own destiny. We create our own reality.
Now, from that young boy, you grew up, you studied, you were going to do dentistry, is that right? Or you did?
Well,
dentistry?
I left Taranaki. I guess, just as an aside, this last few days in Parliament reminds me so much of the first day at primary school, at West Haven School in New Plymouth, you know, the sheer enormity of the change.
I was going to say not the behaviour.
Well, that too. It's high theatre at times, David. I left Taranaki at 16, went to Otago University, had a wonderful 5 years there, did dental surgery, and then went over to Australia, did a fellowship in oral surgery, then did, like so many other Kiwis, put a pack on my back, hitched across Australia, and then took a boat to Singapore and went overland to Europe. And that was a wonderful experience.
When would this have been?
Oh, this was in a time when you could go through the Khyber Pass, sitting on the front spare wheel of a truck on the bonnet, go through the Khyber Pass.
The 1970s, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. But the Russians hadn't invaded at that stage. And neither the Shah hadn't fallen, so we could go through Iran. Interestingly, some people welcomed you, other people tried to run you over as you're crossing the street as a Westerner. I guess that brought home to the sort of callow Kiwi lad the similarity between people from all walks and of life and different races and the sheer, despite the diversity, the vast similarities. And this is before I'd heard anything of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Then I got to England and I worked in London a bit. Then I had my own dental practice in Cambridge, and I'd turned medicine down at Otago, and so I sort of looked at the options, and was fortunate enough to be offered a place at Magdalen College at Cambridge in England. On holiday in France, we were windsurfing with a group of mates and my girlfriend, who's now my wife. I think we're in Brittany, and I lost my eye in an accident on the beach, not whilst I was on the windsurfer, and just had a couple of bottles of beer at the beach, drank one, took the other one back. I was a victim of our group abstemiousness. In fact, if we drank the two bottles, it wouldn't have been a problem, but we took it back, put in a pail of cold water, knocked it, but later on in the evening, and then the bottle flew off, and you know, I lost my eye. So dentistry was out, but that was all right,
because
I'd already
because
been accepted.
Because you couldn't see with both eyes.
It's no stereo vision. But I'd already been accepted for my medical degree, and so had the wonderful experience of doing that at Magdalen College at Cambridge. The highest compliment I can pay to Cambridge is it was as good as Otago, but in a different way.
So you're Dr. Cam Calder?
That's correct.
Right. Is that what you're going to be called in Parliament?
I believe so. Yeah. They tend to do that. You know, people who have been ministers are the honourable, whether they're ministers or not.
Yeah.
People who are doctors are doctors.
And do you plan to stand in an electorate if this opportunity comes
Well,
up?
I did stand at Manurewa. And that was a hugely enjoyable experience. Wonderful
people. You live in Devonport?
I live in Devonport.
Yeah.
I mean, I made no bones about it. I'm a boy from the Naki, living in Devonport, proud to stand in Manurewa. And the people of Manurewa seem to appreciate that. I mean, George won with he got 5,000 votes more than I did. I wasn't actually going for the personal vote. I was going for the party vote, and we got some good response.
You were almost the Clayton's candidate for Mount Albert, weren't you? I mean, your ears must have been burning a lot over that campaign. I know that, for example, when we interviewed Melissa Lee, we said, well, if you get in, you were the Judith Tizard of the National Party, in a sense, weren't you?
I hadn't thought of it like that, Damien. I was actually overseas at the time, so you know, I was very I was very much aware that should Melissa win Mount Albert, then that would mean I would go into Parliament. But I wasn't aware of what was going on at the time.
Huge learning curve for you ahead of you.
Absolutely.
Standing orders, committees.
Oh, look, that's what brings back the school analogy. It's a huge learning curve. It's a huge privilege. I mean, I was walking up to be sworn in on Wednesday, I'm very mindful of the privilege. You know, I heard Murray Deeker interview Richie McCaw a couple of weeks ago, and Richie was talking about, you know, there's about 1,100 All Blacks, and you're 24/7, you're in the public eye, and you know, you get there as an All Black, and you really want to do your best, and you've got to earn the respect of the public. And there's a lot of similarities there, and with being an MP, and you're certainly aware of the fact that you're there to work, and certainly I'll be doing my best to do my best.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing your name in the papers, hopefully for good reasons. Thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure, David.
Coming up after the break, we've got new music from the Chicks.